Here in John chapter 16, we've been taking a look at this passage and the content of it. In verse number 7, the Lord says here to His church, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He, that is the Comforter, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Of sin, we've looked at that, about what sin is, and His reproving, the reason for it, because they believe not on Me. The world, natural man, doesn't believe that there's any need for Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ came to deal with sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. God demands righteousness. He demands holiness. It's required by Him, and it's the way that He is. Amen. And His being there with the Father after having come to this earth signifies to us that He did come to fulfill all righteousness as a man so that He might be a Savior of sinners. And then here in verse number 11, He will reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so we want to consider that here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day, Your blessing, Your goodness towards us. We thank You, Father, for meeting with us. And we pray, Father, that You would just move with Your Spirit, Father, the saints, Lord, that are here. Lord, help us with Your Word and give us insight and understanding and application of it. And Lord, that we might be encouraged of You in it. Lord, that we not seek our own way in our lives, Father, but we might seek that way that You show us in that way that You lead us in. Lord, we know that You've promised that You will lead us, and we pray, Father, that You'd help us, that we would be open and receptive unto that. Lord, not willful and seeking our own way and desire, but Father, compliant and submissive to You. Help now with Your Word and bless us with this passage that we might understand more about it. We might understand as a church what we're to be about doing and that fulfilling that first part of the Great Commission and teaching all nations. Lord, this is evidently and clearly part of that work that You want us to do. And that first part of the commission is to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Lord, You're going to do that through Your church, and help us to see that and be about that work as Your people. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that You might touch them and visit them today as You only can. Lord, help them that they might repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, they might call out unto You for mercy. And Lord, You would be merciful and save their souls. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. And amen. Here this passage in verse 11 says that the Spirit, the Comforter, through the working, and we understand that that's going to be the case. We'll speak about that more in a message to come. But it's going to be the Comforter through the working of the Lord's churches that this rebuke, this reproof is going to be taken out into the world. We don't tell the world that we think they're bad, or we don't tell the world that because of our thinking or our way or our righteousness or our word that the world is wrong, or that sinners need to be saved, and that there is sin and God requires righteousness. It's not because of us. It doesn't originate with us, but it originates with God. We repeat what the Lord has given us in His word, and we've seen that. Sin has come by Satan and the disobedience of our federal head Adam, our father Adam, his disobedience of God Almighty and that simple instruction that He gave him, don't eat of this tree. Sin came upon all of us. We're born sinners, and we come forth from the womb speaking lies, and when we hit the air, we're all about sinning, and that's our nature, and that's what we pursue and do. And we need salvation from that. We need salvation and forgiveness of our trespass against God, and we need something and imputed unto us. We need something brought to us that we just cannot accomplish in and of ourselves. And so because of our sin, we can't yield a sacrifice or a payment for our sin. There's nothing that we can do to make it right, if you will. And so therefore, righteousness comes into play. And we see that by the Word of God and by the instruction of the Lord that our righteousness are as filthy rags. Ours are. The best we can do or like an old rag that a leper would be wrapped up in, if you will. And so we need this righteousness because of our sin. We need our sin taken away. We need righteousness somehow, some way. And it is, we found in, that the scripture bears out completely and truly that it is only by the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness imputed unto us. He became a man. He didn't save from heaven where he just zapped sinners and saved their souls and somehow, some other way made it right. But God the Son came down to earth and became a man so that he might be a savior for men. That's the reason he's referred to as the Son of Man, as we're going to see in the passages we're going to look at. And then we see here of judgment. We don't hear much preaching about judgment these days, or some of the preaching that's preached is not really that good, but you don't hear much preaching about judgment and condemnation. And I want to have a well-balanced ministry as far as feeding the church and preaching the messages that I'm to preach and to bring. But sinners need to be warned about judgment, and we need to be telling the world, because of sin, judgment is going to come. Because of the requirement of righteousness, judgment is going to come. It's going to come to every man. Every man, woman, boy, girl, judgment is going to come. Now, praise God, through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't face a judgment that's a determination of our eternity, because our eternity is sealed in Christ. In Christ, my sins have been forgiven. In Christ, righteousness has been bestowed upon me, and my filth and my sin, but it's been placed upon him. And so therefore, for the judgment that I will face as a son of God, the judgment that you will face being saved and as a son of God, will be not our soul and our eternity in the balance, but it'll be a judgment of how we've served the Lord from the day that he saved us, from the moment that he saves us, to the time that he takes us out of this life. That's what our judgment will be. About a judgment regarding children and the obedience of children and the service of his people to him in doing what he's given us to do. He doesn't leave us to guess, does he? He doesn't leave the sinner to guess about eternity and what that sinner is facing if they die in their trespasses and sins without the Savior. That's a great blessing and wonder of our God, the God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He does not leave mankind here to guess. He's told us the truth through his word. Will we hearken unto it? Will you hearken unto it? In whatever place that you find yourself now. And so judgment is coming. As the song says, all will be there. Who have rejected? Who have refused? Are you here and lost in your sins without Christ as Savior? You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent and believe in him. You need not seek your own way, but come to the Lord, as he says, just emptied of self, guilty and condemned, with no answer and no hope, but just a claim to the Lord's mercy and cry out unto him that he would save your soul. It's only by the word of God that you've learned that you need it. Can you trust him? Can you believe? If you can, do. Believe in him. Trust in him. And we pray that the Lord will help and work in it. Because if you don't, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming of the Spirit, the Comforter in the church is going to reprove the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Let's take a look at this judgment. And I tell you what, there's no better passage to describe about the judgment given and that which will be performed, I believe, than John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Let's take a look here at this passage. You want to talk to somebody about salvation and about judgment all in one passage. This is a great passage to do it. There's three verily, verilys that are mentioned here. When the Lord uses those words, verily, verily, he's saying this is very, very important. You cannot do without it. It's essential. You must know and understand and believe this to be the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, truly, truly, I say unto thee, you need to know this information. You need to know this truth. And so we take a look here in John chapter 5. There at Bethesda's pool, the Lord has healed a man that has been taken in this infirmity for 38 years. He's a cripple. He cannot get into the water. At that pool there at Bethesda, when the angel would come and trouble the water, and there would was provision by the Lord, and this manifestation of this troubling of the water, and those that would go into the pool would be healed. Okay, I believe it to be certainly a true thing. The Word of God gives no rebuke about it. And the Lord heals this man, and once again, what's the Lord do? He heals him on the Sabbath, okay? So not only is he dealing with the man, but he's dealing with the leadership in Israel. He is his taking their hypocrisy to them and also saving sinners in the meantime. He heals this man, he saves this man, and then the Jews, they, because of the testimony of this man, when he tells them that it was Jesus that healed him, and he didn't know about who it was at the onset, but the Lord having visited him in the temple and I believe saved his soul, the man was honest and came back to the leadership there. And it says in verse 16, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Verse 17. "And Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.'" What's that all about? So this is a working of God. This what I'm doing is the work of the Father. And where the work of the Father is what I'm doing, and what I'm doing is the work of the Father. "I'm no freelancer," the Lord Jesus Christ says. "I've been sent to do this work. I've been sent to do these things. And this healing of this man, the things that I preach, the things that I am leading my church in, everything about every whit of my life and my doctrine, it's all of God the Father." Oh, and that just stirred the Jews and the leadership of the Jews, because look what it says. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Because see, the Son is always the heir of the Father, isn't he? The Son always follows up the Father. And if there's an inheritance, if there's an operation to be taken over, it's going to be the Son that's going to move into the stead of the Father as the Father goes on. So his claim of God being his Father made Jesus, and they drew the conclusion, that, and they believed that he was making himself equal with God. Well, was he and is he? Amen, he is. That was the point. That was the point, but they did not receive it, did they? "Then answered," verse 19, "Jesus and said unto them," first, "verily, verily, 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 I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." He says, "I'm no freelancer. I'm doing exactly what the Father, God who you claim, I am doing exactly what he wants me to do. Everything that you see me do, the healing of this man on the Sabbath day, God the Father wants me to do that. And it's by his name, by his power, by his ability in me and in us that that is accomplished." He's taking it straight to him. "You've got an exception with it. You are troubled by it. You are disturbed. You hate me over it. But I'm doing what I'm doing because I've been sent of the Father. This work, this entire life that I have, it's because the Father has sent me." And you know, and he says, "Get ready, because there's going to be more coming. There's going to be more coming that you're going to marvel about." He said, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth." The Father doesn't hold anything back from the Son. "And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." You think it's something that I've healed this man at the pool just by speaking to him and told him to pick up his bed and go home, and you chided him over carrying his bed on the Sabbath day? There's more coming. And your jaw's going to drop open. You're going to be slack jaw, as we say, when you look at it and see it. And this is not only speaking about those things that the Jews, the leadership and the Jews, the nation, national Israel would see in the day of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think it's talking about what he's going to be talking about, or what he's coming to talk about, in that Israel will look on him whom they pierced and know that Jesus that came some 2,000 years ago is was and is their Messiah, Amen. And national Israel missed him.
Right.
I think that that's alluded to, or in that what the Lord is saying. He says that there's going to be greater works than these that you may marvel. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead. Anybody quarrel with that? Can God the Father raise up the dead? Nobody quarrel with that, would they? They wouldn't quarrel with that. They know that He has life. As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, makes them alive. That's what that word quickeneth means. Even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Sinner, without the Lord as Savior, you need Jesus. You don't need church membership. You don't need baptism in the place that you're in right now. You don't need a system of philosophy or a system of even Bible doctrine. You need Jesus Christ first and foremost.
Right.
Because you know what? Whoever the Lord saves, whoever the Lord quickens, they will be quickened. And you need Him to make you alive. You need Him to save your soul. You need to go to Him for the salvation of your soul. Because you know all that's lacking for you to be saved? Is for the Lord to save you. That's all that's lacking. All He's got to do is want to. I tell you, cry out unto Him for mercy. Because you need Him. He doesn't need you. You need Him. You need Him and everything about Him. He says, as the Father has life in Himself, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. You need Jesus. And Jesus alone. Verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man. The topic here is changing somewhat. And He's going to tell them about these things they're going to marvel in. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Is there any judgment that the Father has reserved to Himself? No, that verse just said all, didn't it? It just said the judgment that's going to be has been committed to the Son. It's been given to the Son. Any judgment that goes forth from God is going to be manifested and be accomplished and be performed by the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ, right? He says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And there's a reason for it, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Do the Jews honor the Father? They said they did. They had a zeal, but it wasn't according to the righteousness of God, okay? But they claimed God Almighty. They claimed Him as their Father. They claimed Abraham, who they also claimed as their father, and Abraham claimed God Almighty as his God and his Father, right? They claimed that, but they didn't know Him, did they? And he says here, the reason that the Father hath committed this judgment, all judgment to the Son, is so that those that honor the Father would honor the Son likewise. That all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. So you're rejecting Me. And you know by doing so, because I'm sin of the Father, you're rejecting the Father. Now see, they thought they had inroads with the Father. They thought that they had the connection with God. The Pharisees, the Sadducees would come and teach the people and lead the people and would say, we'll show you the way to God. And we see even by the disciples and the things that they were taught, that they were taught some things that were wrong, weren't they? They were. About their attitude. I think about that blind man. Here's the attitude that was taught by the leadership of the day. Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents? That was the attitude. If you're down, if you're low, if you're poor, if you're sick, something spiritual's got to be wrong. That's what their attitude was. But if you're healthy, wealthy, and wise like we are, God loves you and everything's great. Are those things true? No, it's not true. It's not true. As an example. And so he says here, there's honor to be given and meted out to the Son, and the Father, to accomplish that, has made it to where the Son has been made judge. And if you don't honor the Son, you're not honoring. If we don't honor the Son, we're not honoring the Father. What's it say? Which hath sent Him. So my whole ministry, my whole mission, my whole purpose is being directed by the Father. Again, you've heard me say it before, and it's so for us all. I'll repeat it for us. The submission of the Lord Jesus Christ to the will of the Father, the obedience of our Savior to the Father. There's no greater testimony to us that we should be submissive and obedient to our Lord and Savior and King, is there? If He was so, how can we refuse to be so? Amen? How can we refuse to be so if the Son was? He was. And that's the example that He gives us. So He opens this up to us that judgment, all judgment, is going to be performed by the Son. Verse 24, He makes a step back here in talking about this quickening, the raising up of the dead. And we understand that that can be a couple ways, right? One, physically dead could be made to be alive again by the Lord. Does he have that power? Well, if He made Adam out of the dust of the ground, He could sure do make anybody alive, couldn't He? Breathed into Adam the breath of life and man became a living soul, right? I mean, He has the power of life. Well, here also we know what the Lord is going to say here in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we've seen one verily, verily about no freelancing of the Lord in this thing of judgment. Verily, verily, verse 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not, but is passed from death unto life. He said, I'll show you and I'll help you to understand the life that I have. You believe me, you believe and trust in the Father that sent me, you've got everlasting life right now. And you know what? Condemnation. Your condemnation is taken away. Because, see, you're not going to stand before the judge like you would have had you died and like you would have in the condition you were before you were saved. There'll be a loss for us of rewards, but there's not that soul hanging in the balance, if you will, or eternity hanging in the balance. For the child of God that's saved, that believes in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He says about us, what He says about our need, what it says about Himself fulfilling that need, what He says about salvation only being through Him, and that the way to come to God, to please God, to receive God is by faith. Amen. Not what we can do, but by faith. And trusting in Him and what He has done and promised. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's that simple. Believe it. Amen. Don't complicate it. You start dealing with yourself and what you know and philosophy you try to drag into it and justification and reasoning and why and all that, you'll mess it up and confuse it. It's just simple in Christ. Simple, childlike faith. Trusting in Him. Believing in Him. I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, you can't do without this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He says, yeah, we can make bodies alive, but you know what's important? What's important is that your soul be made alive, your spirit be made alive, your soul be saved by the visitation of me and my Father and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That's what you need. Verily, verily, I say, you can't do without this. Take those verily, verilies and cut them out of the Scripture. It's big chunks. Big necessary chunks that are pulled out of the scripture, essential chunks of the Scripture that we need for life. You understand what I'm saying? That's the reason he says, verily, verily, truly, truly, listen up. You need to know this. So he speaks to us not about the physical body, but about the spiritual, about salvation. Then in verse 25, he comes to this, and our main subject at hand is that of judgment. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Okay, that's continuing on about salvation. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Because Jesus is the Savior, because it's Jesus that came, Because it's Jesus that set aside his righteousness or his grandeur and his splendor and his power. He laid those things aside and came and was born of a woman, became a man and lived a life as a man and had a physical body and gave his life, lived perfectly, gave his life on Calvary, gave it, suffered there, bled there, died there, gave up his, yielded up his ghost of his own accord, was buried in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and raised from the dead. Because he did that, because he's the Savior of men, because he's the Son of men, because he is, what did he tell Philip and Thomas? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because one of his names in Isaiah is the Everlasting Father. Because he came and did that for his people, he's the judge. What better perspective to be the judge than to be the one that's been the Savior and is the Savior? Amen? If you've rejected the way of God's salvation, you've rejected the God-man Jesus Christ, and it is to him that you're accountable and none other. Because, see, that's what the sinner without Christ will do one day. And standing there at the great white throne judgment of God, they'll stand face to face, kneeled before him, and God the Son looking them in the eye, and they'll stand in judgment before the very one they have rejected. There won't be a third party involved. It'll be one-on-one. One-on-one. You and I as children of God. There won't be an arbitrator at our judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand face to face with our Savior. If we've obeyed him and served him well, he'll be pleased. And where I've failed, there won't be somebody else that he'll be saying that I display. That's the reason there's going to be some weeping there. That's the reason there's going to be some shedding of some tears. That's the reason there's going to be a manifestation of sadness and sorrow where I didn't manifest the Spirit of God in different aspects of my life since the Lord saved me, where I wasn't a witness, where I wasn't faithful to the Lord, where I didn't carry forth the truth of God's Word as I should have to those round about me. However it is that we fail, it'll be before him. It won't be arguing with this one because of something that I've done against this one. It'll be face to face with my Savior. And sinner, you'll be face to face with the Savior that you rejected. The Son of Man. Oh, there's much in the meaning and the name of the Lord as the Son of Man. He says, I verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and it now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Do you hear the voice of the Son of God say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He'll save you. And they that hear shall live. You want to live? Well, look and live. For as the Father hath life in himself, verse 26, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and he is the giver of life, isn't he? And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Savior, the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. They didn't regard Jesus even as a prophet. That was their answer. Look at this man. Look at where he's from. Look at his lineage. Look at that everything about his life. Look at how poor he is. He can't be the Messiah. He's not even a prophet. Marvel not at this. You think I'm nothing, but the thing is, really, I'm everything. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. See, the hour is coming, and right is now, where sinners can be saved through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Who in the graves? Most? Just the saved. No. All. Everyone that's buried. the cemetery we've got out here, the cemetery that's down the road, the cemetery over there in Russellville, the cemeteries all over this land and all over this world. People buried and they don't even know where they are buried. People lost at sea. Maybe even people lost in space. People lost in the oceans and in the depths of that. People in terrible deaths just being burned up and there was nothing to bury. But everyone's going to hear. Everyone's going to hear. And listen to what he says. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Not only do I save sinners by making them alive, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Is that talking about a work salvation? No. It's talking about salvation in the Lord. It's not talking about your good works. It's talking about the doing well of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do well when we repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know about the operation of God, don't we? The Scripture's clear. We take nothing away from that. But he says here, they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Not a resurrection of, well, did I make it or did not make it? Many denominations say today, well, you just won't really know till you die. I tell you what, the Lord says you can know now. You can know and have assurance now. Isn't that what he just said in the preceding verses? You can know you've got life because it's given to you by the Lord. And you can know him and hear him and trust in him. They that have done good are going to hear and come forth from the grave into the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. Called up out of the grave. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow the soul that is in hell restored back with the body, as we're going to read in coming messages, stand there before the great white throne judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. A little reprieve. In being called out of hell to stand there in judgment, the Lord is going to do that. And no one can say, no, my body's staying here in the grave. No, there's no doing it. There's no resisting it. There's no not coming forth. And shall come forth they that have done good into the resurrection of life, they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. Why is it the resurrection of damnation? Because you know what lies ahead? Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that believe in the Father that sent him, those that believe in his word that he talked about there in the earlier verses, they've come from death unto life. They've come from darkness unto light, haven't they? They've come from death unto life. There's no condemnation there, is there? But you know what? Those that are brought forth, those that when the Lord says, bring them on, come on. The damned, come on. You know why it's the resurrection of damnation? Because there's yet condemnation upon them, because you know what's at the right white throne judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ? The second death. Guaranteed going there. No debate, no dealing, no arguing with God. You show up at that resurrection, you are damned eternally. But see what's going to happen at the great white throne judgment of God for those that have rejected the Lord as Savior. As it says in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, but those that are fearful and unbelieving are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Fearful and unbelieving. That's the top of the list of the wickedness and the sin that they're guilty of, that they have no payment for. The condemnation yet abides upon them, and that the great white throne judgment of God, they're going to die again. Forever. Forever. For the sinner that passes from this life and trespasses and sins without Christ as Savior, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. With no hope, no change. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Verse number 29, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Judgment is coming. No one escapes. Whether you're young, whether you're old, you know what? There is one thing. Brother Stephen, I think, said it in the Young People's Fellowship the other night. One thing you got a guarantee of, you are going to pass from this life. You're going to pass from this life. You're going to come to the end. And without Christ, what a terrible, terrible way to die. Marvel not at this, because there are those that are going to come to that resurrection of damnation. In verse number 30, he wraps this thought up. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Why? It's the Word of God that men, women are going to be judged by. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. It's the Father that's given the Word in this operation, this working of the Lord coming as a man. It is the Father that's given him the instruction, given him the Word, and he will perfectly abide by it and minister that. He saves sinners by that, and he condemns the damned, the unbelieving, by that. Judgment. The Lord, the work of the Spirit, is going to reprove the world of judgment. How about you? How about you? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to go into eternity? There's judgment coming. There's judgment coming. And we're going to take a look and going forward in some other messages about a greater revealing and manifestation of some details of that judgment, what the Lord is going to do. If you're here and you're not saved, it's in Jesus Christ. Simple childlike faith in Him. Not being afraid, but trust in the Lord. Now, I understand completely how the Word of the Lord coming to you, telling you the truth about your sin and your need and your desperate situation, will do nothing but make you very afraid. But don't be unbelieving. Don't blow it off. Don't say another day. But if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, salvation, it's the Lord that saves. We trust in him to save. Receive him on his terms, his way. No holds barred. No change by you. No debate with the Lord. Just simply as you are, come to him.